Can you hear me?
Oh, coming loud and clear. It's a privilege to be here this evening. John asked me to come prepared to speak for about 60 minutes, is that about right? It's not going to last that long, fortunately. What I'm going to talk about tonight is being empowered in the Holy Spirit. I'll give some time for ministry again as well. So just to start off, I wanted to just put some questions out there to think about as we go through the talk. But would you like to have someone with you at all times who will empower you? Someone that will give you strength, who will stand up for you, who will make you bold, who will represent you, who will give you words to speak when you don't know what to say. Someone who will help you to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus, and to speak like Jesus. Well, guess what? You do. Okay? And of course, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. As some of you may well know, I'm a police officer. I'm currently training police officers. When they come in day one with no experience, just raw recruits, and they train them up for 3 months and they go out and do the job. And I remember my first day after receiving training, going out to do the job that I signed up to do. And there's a lot of excitement, and I was also really nervous. Despite all the training, you don't really know what to expect, and you're told about potential danger and things like that. So on my first shift, we had a 999 call to a fire department. We got the blue lights on the car, sirens, driving on the wrong side of the road, passing fast. Really exciting. Lovely. But then we actually arrived at the job, and that was the scary bit. There had been a fire at the pub, and one of the barmen had come out to meet us, and the two guys that had pulled the bother had ran off. So the barman said he pointed the direction they'd gone, so they'd gone towards Princess Street. So he went around the corner, and then he saw where they were, pointed them out to me. Like, oh, this is great, they won, foot chase. So I thought, chase after these two guys. I think I should just mention at this point is when you do your first day, or your first few months, you have a tutor constable with you at all times, who basically keeps you right, to make sure you don't go too stupid, or make too many mistakes. I started running after these two guys, and looked round, and realised my tutor was nowhere to be seen. Completely on my own, chasing these two guys. I'm actually quite a fast runner, so I started to catch up with these guys quite quickly. I thought, what am I going to do when I get there? I have no idea what I'm going to do. I thought, should I just slow down and let them get away? No, I didn't do that. My pride got the better of me. I'm catching these two guys. They were both taller than me and broader than me. So I was a little bit nervous, as you can imagine. But I ran up to them, and basically, they stopped straight away, completely compliant, and they didn't say this, but they might as well have a fair cop call. Handcuffed them and detained them. And then my tutor emerged from where he'd been. He'd actually got a car and ridden around because he didn't like running. Anyway, so why did they stop? Why did they stop for me? Well, the reason they stopped wasn't because I'm some imposing physical specimen because they were bigger and stronger than me. It's because they recognised what I represented, the law, the authority, the law that I had on my side. And in the same way, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit at our side, inside us, enabling us to do things that we wouldn't otherwise be able to do. The key text that we're going to look at this evening is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. So I'll read that out. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit and to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So let's just get the context of this passage. It's basically the start of the book of Acts, which is the second volume written by Luke. Of course, we'll know the first, which is the Gospel of St. Luke. And in Luke, there's an account of Jesus' life, his earthly ministry, his death, and then his resurrection. At the end of Luke, the disciples, the apostles, the close associates of Jesus, have suffered the trauma of being separated from Jesus as a result of his crucifixion, his unjust execution. But then, the amazing news starts to break about Jesus being raised from the dead, following the discovery of the empty tomb. Then Jesus appears to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then finally, in Luke, Jesus appears to the disciples in Jerusalem, and he makes this promise to them in Luke 24:49. I'm going to send to you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now this is basically where we pick up the text in Acts chapter 1. The passage describes a 40-day period when Jesus appears to the apostles periodically to emphasize the truth of his resurrection and to provide further teaching on the kingdom of God. Then in verse 4, Luke records Jesus' last encounter with the disciples before his ascension to heaven. In this encounter, Jesus promises the disciples that they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In verse 5, and then in verse 8, he promises the apostles, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So there's two things that I want to focus on this evening. Firstly, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about. And secondly, the power that we receive when the Holy Spirit comes. I think both these two things are very closely related, so hopefully I can demonstrate that to you in this talk. So firstly then, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit Jesus is talking about here? Is it basically another word for conversion, or another word for becoming a Christian? Well, I'd say no, it's not. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate thing, which is received by Christians normally post-conversion. Paul states in Romans 8:9 that all Christians have the Spirit of Christ living in them. Okay, that's fantastic news. If you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of Christ living in you. You have the Spirit of Christ living in you. I have the Spirit of Christ living in me. However, not everyone who has the Spirit of Christ living in them has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it's possible then to be an ordinary Christian, if you like, who has the Holy Spirit living in them and hasn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The apostles in this text are a case in point. It's fair to say that at this point that they're Christians. Well, they wouldn't use the term, because that didn't come until Acts 11, but for the sake of argument, we'll say that they're Christians at this point. So much of Jesus' earthly ministry, they didn't really understand the purpose of his mission. But post-resurrection, finally grasped the truth of the gospel. They've understood that Jesus came to earth to be crucified, to die in our place, to pay the price for our sins, for all the wrong things that we've done, so that we can repent, say sorry for the bad things we've done, turn away from them, and then receive forgiveness. Okay? The apostles have understood this profound truth at this point. but they still haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones provides a lovely illustration to help us understand what this is. Basically, an ordinary Christian is like a child who's walking with his father. His father's holding his hand and is leading him, and the child's perfectly happy and safe. But the Christian who's received the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like a child who's been lifted up into his father's arms, is embraced by the father, and just smothered in kisses by the father. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced the father's profound love for you? Because if you have, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I first explored this concept of being baptized by the Holy Spirit, and to be honest, I found it baffling and almost pointless, really. I'm a Christian, I go to church, I read the Bible, what else do I need? I remember when I was at university, I was going to a church which was a lot of part of the service was just dedicated to worship and praise. And during that period, I really started to experience Father God. I can say that it is just like being embraced in his arms, and it's just the best place to be. So that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. What happens when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let's just recap verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So we'll receive power and we'll become witnesses. This power comes as a result of experiencing the power of the Father. An important point to address before moving on is the power mentioned here. Is it for us, or is it just for the apostles of the early church? Well, based on this verse alone, or this passage alone, the power comes for Christians' witnesses. And this happened to the apostles first in Jerusalem, then spread to Judea and to Samaria. But they didn't reach the end of the earth. In fact, we still haven't reached the end of the earth. So on this passage alone, we still receive our power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. But we haven't yet reached the end of the earth. When that happens, then it may well change. But for now, it's still valid. So then what does this power look like? Well, we don't need to look any further than the start of Acts 2, which describes the Holy Spirit being poured out for the first time on the day of Pentecost. So I'll just read out the start of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the Spirit came like a rushing wind. There were tongues of fire that rested on each of the apostles, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Now the term filled with the Holy Spirit is really important. I'll come back to that. But first I just want to focus on this concept of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is basically speaking in a language given to you by the Holy Spirit that enables you to speak and pray without hindrances of natural thought. If you think back to the illustration of the child with the father, it's like a child learning to speak with the father for the first time, and the father just delights in his baby words that come out. Not having been a father yet, I can't speak from my own experience, but I've been told that it is a very special experience when the child just speaks it for the first time. And that's the kind of relationship that is being developed and speaking in tongues. Peter explains what's going on at Pentecost when he addresses the crowd in Acts 2:16-17. This is what was spoken by In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Peter explains that this pouring out of the spirit is the fulfillment of the promise that God made in Joel 2. People will prophesy, they'll see visions, and they'll receive dreams. Again, if we return to that illustration of the child of the father, if you know the father, if you hear the father, with the father then you will hear his voice. Prophecy isn't some mystical gift that's only available to the very holy. It's for all of us. You just need to be bold enough to approach the father and hear his voice. Now Lucy and I, we run a home group and we regularly pray for people in the group. And when I'm praying for people in the group, I quite often receive words and images from people in the group. That doesn't always happen, but I always expect it to happen. I'm always ready to receive it. I believe that everyone here can receive words from God if they approach the Father. The boldness comes to sharing that word with people. Because they might turn around and say, that's not for me. Okay? It's not a foolproof thing, but the boldness really comes in stepping out and sharing what you've heard. And you never know, it just might be that the word the Father has given for that person, for that situation. I just want to return to the phrase being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is about being empowered for ministry, being empowered to share the gospel, being empowered to speak the word of God, and being empowered to do it with boldness. We see this regularly in Acts. Peter spoke with the Holy Spirit before addressing the high priest and asked the high priestly family in Acts 4:8. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, conversion in Acts 9:17, before heading to Damascus, and immediately begins to proclaim the gospel to Jews in the synagogues as a baby Christian. Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit at Antioch and brought many to faith through his teaching in Acts 11:22-24. So there's a connection between being filled with the Holy Spirit and preaching the gospel and basically doing ministry. Have you ever experienced this? When you found yourself sharing faith and it's as though someone else is sort of speaking through you? Like you're just present watching it. I remember a time just after Lucy and I got married, we went to Paraguay and we basically worked for the church there and working for the church school. When we came back, we were moving permanently to Edinburgh, part of Manchester, so I'd seen some old school friends all moving permanently. I was wearing a Paraguay t-shirt. Now we went to some old club that we used to go to the school, and it was sort of trip down memory lane type of thing. But I was wearing this t-shirt and ended up getting into a conversation with a good stranger, someone I'd never seen before, and he asked me about the t-shirt and why I was wearing it. I started telling about what we're doing in Paraguay. Before I knew it, I shared the gospel with him, talking about my faith, talking about Jesus. And it was one of those moments when it was like I was present, but it wasn't me speaking, it was someone else. That's what can happen. Holy Spirit can actually speak through you, give you words to say that you don't realize you have. So coming back to this power, then why do we receive it? What's the purpose of it? Well, in the text, it's so we can be witnesses. Jesus' witnesses on earth. That's what it's all about. If we don't receive the power of the Holy Spirit, then at best, we're going to be lawyers for Jesus. Not quite catching being witnesses for Jesus, being a lawyer for Jesus. And what I mean by that is that we'll be like lawyers that make a case for Jesus. Okay, we concoct persuasive arguments out of logic and human wisdom. Now, don't get me wrong, because I believe in apologetics and I'm totally behind developing rational thought to explain how then can we receive this power? How can we receive the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, a really important place to start is prayer. If you look in Acts chapter 1:14, the apostles and the close associates of the apostles devoted themselves to prayer. Before Pentecost, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, they were deeply anticipating that day. So we need to have the same expectation, the same anticipation. It could also be that we're putting up barriers that are preventing us from receiving this gift. It could be that some of us are struggling with unbelief. We've read the Bible, we've read about Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit done amazing things, but maybe we've not seen it for ourselves, and we've not experienced it ourselves. Maybe pride is a barrier. We feel like we need this power in our lives. We've got by so far, but after on our own, what else do we need? There could be many other barriers that disqualify us from this gift, but one other to mention is sin. Maybe there's just some area in your life that you just haven't confessed, you haven't repented, you haven't given to Jesus. So to finish then, I just want you to close your eyes and examine yourself. You're a child of God, and His Holy Spirit lives in you. But have you recently been filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Is there anything preventing you from being filled with the Holy Spirit? If there is, give these things to God. Lay it down and ask you. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or filled afresh, and quietly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Father, I need you. I hunger and thirst for more intimate and personal relationship with you. Thank you for forgiving my sins to Christ's death on the cross for me. I now confess and turn from my sins and surrender the control of my life to the Lord Jesus. By faith, I invite you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. You promise to fill me, and I now accept this promise. I pray this in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. To demonstrate my faith, I now thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Okay, the band would like to come up. And if you'd like to receive prayer, then there's going to be some ministry team on hand. If you just want to come and sit.